President-elect Biden calls the vaccine campaign a dismal failure and says he's going on a war footing with the coronavirus.
He's unapologetically pro-government, and he says a big crisis demands a bold response.
I'm Scott Simon.
I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro, and this is Up First from NPR News.
Biden acknowledged on Friday that task will also cost a lot.
You have my word. We will manage the hell out of this operation.
And as the coronavirus rages, the inauguration approaches. Thousands of National Guard troops are in Washington, D.C., turning the Capitol into a fortress.
Meanwhile, all 50 state capitals are on tactical alert, bracing for armed protesters inspired by last week's attack on the House and Senate chambers.
We'll have the latest on the arrests and the investigation. Stay with us. We've got the news you need to start your weekend.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp, online counseling by licensed professional counselors specializing in isolation, depression, stress, and anxiety. Visit BetterHelp.com/upfirst to learn more and get 10% off your first month. This message comes from NPR sponsor Driftwell. Sip into relaxation with Driftwell, an enhanced still water beverage with magnesium, a hint of blackberry lavender flavor, and L-theanine. Designed to help you relax and unwind, Driftwell is a new way to cap off your day.
More shots, less red tape. Those are among the promises Joe Biden made yesterday.
But tackling the coronavirus will take time, it will take money, and it will take a lot of work.
We didn't get into all of this overnight. We won't get out of it overnight either.
NPR Selena Simmons-Duffin has been following the vaccine developments and joins us now. Selena, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, good morning, Scott.
We have been hearing a lot from Mr. Biden over the past few days about how he wants to ramp up vaccinations. What about this latest statement?
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday, Biden gave a speech in Wilmington, Delaware, specifically about his plan to scale up the vaccination campaign. And he summarized some of the key points.
Our plan is as clear as it is bold. Get more people vaccinated for free. Create more places for them to get vaccinated. Mobilize more medical teams to get the shots in people's arms. Increase supply and get it out the door as soon as possible.
So those are the broad brushstrokes, but he also dug into some details. He said they would use mobile vaccination clinics to get to hard-to-reach communities. He said FEMA would help set up 100 mass vaccination sites in his first month in office. He said he would use the Defense Production Act for supplies like tubes and syringes and protective equipment. There aren't a lot of surprises in the plan. This is really what Biden has been campaigning on, and in some ways, this is what he feels he was elected to do, get a handle on the pandemic. Public health experts who've reviewed it seem to be overall pleased with the sense of direction and the vision that Biden is laying out. But there are still some big question marks, like will Congress provide the funding needed to follow through on a lot of these ideas? $20 billion is a lot of money. Democrats have the majority, but it's tight, so it's not a sure thing. And will these changes move the needle fast enough? The virus is surging. There's a sense that we're in a race against time, and the rollout has been sluggish so far.
Selena, President-elect Biden, of course, says he wants 100 million COVID-19 vaccinations in his first 100 days. How realistic does that sound to you?
Well, you know, Biden addressed that. He said that he'd heard some people doubting it, but he defended the goal.
I'm convinced we can get it done. And this is a time to set big goals, to pursue them with courage and conviction, because the health of the nation is literally at stake.
So the public health experts I've asked about this say that it may be doable, but it is ambitious, and there are advantages to setting lofty goals and pushing to get there. But we also saw the danger of overpromising with the current administration, because they said that there would be 20 million people vaccinated by the end of the year, and instead it was more like 4 million, and that has a big effect on public confidence. So another big promise comes with those same risks.
So let me ask you, obviously, about the state of vaccinations right now. There's still an enormous gap between the number of vaccine doses that are delivered and the shots that are given. Why?
Yeah, that's right. At last check, there had been more than 31 million doses distributed and only 12 million administered. That's about 40%. It's slightly higher percentage than we saw up until now. It's been hovering around 30%. But there has yet to be that sudden acceleration in vaccinations that some federal officials had been promising. Now that we're clear of the holidays and the initial provider learning curves that was blamed for slowing the launch, it is not clear why these problems seem to be dragging on. There is definitely a lot for the Biden team to try and improve on.
NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
A nationwide hunt is underway for the rioters who stormed the U.S. Capitol earlier this month. Federal prosecutors say they're focused on the most serious crimes, including assaults on police officers.
Acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin briefed reporters yesterday.
As the investigation continues, as the days and weeks progress, we're looking at more significant federal felony charges.
NPR's Carrie Johnson, of course, has been following the investigation and joins us. Carrie, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
What are the latest on the cases that have already been brought?
More than 300 people are under investigation, and prosecutors have already filed criminal charges against about 100 people. Some of them are pretty serious. There's an Arkansas man caught on tape, allegedly beating a police officer with an American flag pole. There's another case involving two off-duty cops from Rocky Mount, Virginia. One of them had allegedly posted online about their actions inside the Capitol, then deleted the post. And authorities also charged a retired firefighter from Pennsylvania. He allegedly threw a fire extinguisher that hit a policeman in the head. Now, the investigation into the death of Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick is ongoing. The FBI has found some video of people around him on January 6th, and they're doing some interviews already.
Carrie, there is so much video of this insurrection, people taking pictures of it and of each other. Some of the images seem to show people dressed in military gear. Were they just plain dress-up, or did they plan something military style?
Well, we do have pictures of people dressed in camouflage walking in lines toward the Capitol building, and they're also, Scott,
I mean, camouflage would wouldn't be camouflage for the Capitol, let's put it that way.
Right, right. Not normal dress wear inside the United States Capitol, for sure. But there are also some Facebook videos of people discussing how they're going to approach the building, and there are military veterans who have been charged already, including a Texas man named Larry Brock, who actually got inside the chamber. The FBI says he was carrying what looks like a detention cuff. The question is, were he and others going after members of Congress or Vice President Mike Pence? For now, the Justice Department says they have, quote, no direct evidence of kill or capture teams, but they're still looking at what kind of preparation and planning there was. Prosecutors are being pretty careful about how they describe all this. Here's Michael Sherwin, the acting U.S. attorney here in D.C.
And that is a tier one top priority for both the U.S. Attorney's Office and our federal law enforcement partners to see, again, whether there was this overarching command and control and whether there were these organized teams that were organized to breach the Capitol and then perhaps try to accomplish some type of a mission inside the Capitol.
Carrie, a lot of Americans, as we know, are wondering, how could this happen at the Capitol, which we've always thought is so well guarded? How could police have been so out of place?
Every day it's more clear there were plenty of indications of trouble in advance, and police were simply not prepared. Now, federal watchdogs called inspectors general have announced a big investigation. They're asking what different parts of the government knew and when. That will include the FBI, the Pentagon, the Homeland Security Department, and Interior. Those investigations can take a while. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's named a retired lieutenant general who was in charge after Hurricane Katrina to investigate what went wrong. Some security experts say we're going to need some kind of big independent commission like happened after September 11th to really understand what happened.
And Carrie, before we let you go, you are near downtown D.C., which, of course, is preparing for Joe Biden's inauguration in just a few days. What's it like to be there?
So many street closures, and Scott, really the sounds of helicopters and sirens in the night and all day long. There's a real feeling of tension around here, something I haven't felt since 2001 when we were dealing with the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks and those Washington, D.C. snipers, too. So it's a little rough.
Carrie, thanks so much.
Happy to do it.
NPR Justice Correspondent Carrie Johnson.
And And it's not only here in the nation's capital. At state capitals around the country, law enforcement agencies are preparing for what the FBI warns could be armed protests between now and Wednesday's presidential inauguration.
At a briefing this week for Vice President Pence, FBI Director Christopher Wray said the agency was seeing potential threats in what he called online chatter.
One of the real challenges in this space is trying to distinguish what's aspirational versus what's intentional. We're concerned about the potential for violence at multiple protests and rallies planned here in D.C. and at state capitol buildings around the country.
NPR's Greg Allen is following the security measures states are taking, and he joins us now from Miami. Good morning.
Good morning.
I mean, 50 state capitals, that's a lot of buildings to protect. Are all the states taking this warning seriously?
Well, it really does seem so at this point. At many state capitals, they've been erecting fencing around the state house buildings, and barricades have been put up. National Guards have been called. In California, for example, there's a fence around the state house now. The governor's activated the National Guard there. The same thing's happened in Washington State, a fence around the Capitol, a National Guard. Two protesters were actually arrested there this week for trying to enter the building. At least two legislatures now are postponing sessions next week because of this perceived threat. That's Oregon and Michigan. In Michigan, you know, the Capitol there has been the scene of numerous armed protests over the last year, and some of those involved in the protests were alleged to have participated in a plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. So because of all that, I think law enforcement are taking the threat especially seriously. In addition to activating the National Guard and putting in fencing and windows in the Capitol are boarded up, here's the head of the state police, Colonel Joe Gasper.
Details about the number of officers or their specific security missions will not be shared so as not to provide an advantage to those who wish to cause disruption to the government and our democracy.
It is astounding to think that all this is being done to protect against fellow Americans. The FBI made an arrest yesterday in Florida, right? Related to plans for violence at a protest there. What do we know about that?
Right. The FBI arrested a man who it said was using social media to organize other people for a violent confrontation at the Capitol building in Tallahassee tomorrow. And they released a complaint which showed social media posts, and the man, Daniel Baker, identified himself as a leftist who wanted to confront protesters and violently disrupt a pro-Trump protest. But here in Florida, as elsewhere, there's talk that protests on Sunday could be the ones to watch for. The governor has activated the National Guard. Officials in Tallahassee are telling staff who work there at the Capitol to stay home that day as a precaution. In Richmond, the Virginia's capital, authorities there are closely watching plans for a pro-gun rally on Monday. Governor Ralph Northam had a message for those who are planning on attending. Here's what he said.
If you're planning to come here or up to Washington with ill intent in your heart, you need to turn around right now and go home.
Is there any sign that the arrests after the insurrection in Washington could be discouraging, deterring more violent protests?
Well, that's possible, but it's really hard to say. And I think it's one reason why the FBI has been somewhat guarded in what it will say about the threats that it's hearing about. On social media, you can find many posts now that are saying, stand down, do not attend marches on Washington and in the state capitals. And many of these are by people who identify themselves as Trump supporters. Some people even say it could be a plot to arrest them and seize their guns. In Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear announced that he's activating the National Guard to provide security at the Capitol in Frankfort, and he had a message for protesters.
Domestic terror is never okay. We must stop it every time we see it, and we cannot let what we saw at the U.S. Capitol become a new normal in this country.
You know, Lulu, uniformly, law enforcement, all the states, say the FBI warning being in place, that they're ready to respond to any protests that emerge over the next several days.
That is NPR's Greg Allen in Miami. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that's Up First for Saturday, January 16th, 2021. I'm Lulu Garcia-Navarro.
And I'm Scott Simon.
Up First is back Monday with news to start your week. Follow us on social media. We're at Up First on Twitter. And keep an eye on this feed for the occasional special episode.
And for more news, interviews, books, music, sometimes just plain fun, you can find us on the radio.
You can indeed. Weekend edition, Saturday and Sunday mornings. Find your NPR station at stations.npr.org.
To become a world champion in freediving, Tanya Streeter learned to breathe like this. Ideas about air, breath, and breathing. That's on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.